to be young and inexperienced again. Go ghost hunting with your friends, don't really know what to expect, what to do, or how to handle something if it happens. Well, something does happen to a group of teenagers who decide to embark on a ghost hunt. What happens after that? Well, it's kind of craziness. If you want to hear that story, it's on APP Bonus Episode 59 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP. Sign up and you'll get access to that episode and all 60 some of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. Your support helps keep our show on the air, and we greatly appreciate that. Sign up on the web, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a Halloween decoration seemingly takes on a life of its own. Your father's habit seems to linger after death, after a purchase of an antique. Odd occurrences begin to happen in a listener's home. And after a very public suicide, the deceased young lady finds comfort following one of the witnesses. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you today?
I am doing fantabulous. Very windy day out there.
It is.
It's one of those fun days where as we're recording the show, I have to like stop after every story and press save. Because of the wind and the chance of the power going out.
Well, some of our listeners, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Kansas, but it's always windy in Kansas. There's always like a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and mm-hmm. that's a calm
yeah.
per day. Today, they issued high wind warnings because we're having gusts up to 60 miles an hour, and that's just all day long.
Yeah, just nonstop outside. Everything's blowing in the wind. Make sure everything's, you know, buttoned down, hatched down, put away. Or if you really like to kind of have the hurricane atmosphere in your backyard, just leave all your shit out.
Yeah.
And then you see it flying around, and you can have some fun with that. You can go outside.
It's tropical storm force winds.
Go out there and pretend you're a reporter. Remember back in the day when...
they go and they'd stand, try and stand
yeah, I mean,
in the road.
Some of the Weather Channel folks still kind of do that. I mean, they've gotten a little safer about it. But I would say the peak of that insanity was like in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane because they would put like their main anchors, like you'd have Dan Rather out like on a beach
uh-huh.
and like, you know, sheet metal going flying past his head. And I think at some point they're like, okay, this might not be a good idea.
Yeah.
And it was even back then, not that anyone is expendable, but back then you didn't have networks that had the sheer amount of you know, anchors and news people that could just throw on the air at a moment's whim. It was pretty much, we have to put, you know, so-and-so on at X time, you know, for a newscast.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't risk them getting sliced in half on the beach.
No.
So, anyway, oh, good times. I miss those days. It was kind of exciting and very morbid at the same time to watch. Just because you're like, yeah, I don't know. I equate it to some sporting events where people are watching them just for the negativity
yeah.
of what could happen.
Yeah.
And I won't go into any more detail there because I really don't watch anything. But I know people are like, I just watch it for that. It's kind of sick. But I get it. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to show your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. Our first letter today comes into us from Sarah Michelle. It says, hi, Tony and Jenny. Came across your show in August and became an EPP as soon as I could. Thank you for that. We really appreciate that. I really enjoy listening to you both, and the stories are great. My story will be familiar to you and many of your listeners. I've heard stories like it before myself. I know what happened and why, but I do not have one. But I do have one question, which I'll hold until the end. This event took place in the summer of 2008. It was the worst day of my life. Suffered tragedies before, like poverty, loss, abandonment, trauma, both physical and psychological, but nothing has been as devastating as the loss of my father. He was a good man. Not a saint, not perfect, but kind, gentle, and funny. He had a strong personality that frightened my friends and boyfriends, But as stern as he looked and sounded, he was always fair and treated me very well. He was my mother's second husband and my second dad, the first having left when I was 5, never to be seen again. In childhood, my dad was struck by a disease that caused him to be crippled. Though that word and my dad don't belong in the same sentence. He may have looked disabled, but I assure you, he was not. He always found ways to overcome or circumvent any obstacle he encountered due to his physical limitations. It was as impressive as it was inspiring, especially because of his condition, and as it worsened as he grew in boyhood. It began to worsen again in middle age as his body changed, only to worsen yet again in the very early part of his golden years. This brings me to the point in which my story is concerned. My dad had a new complication. It was life-threatening, and the surgery was sure to be complicated, as may also be life-threatening. Needless to say, the atmosphere in my home was strained. We were all very sad and scared beyond words for what the immediate future might hold. I got to have some serious conversations with my dad about our life, my love for him, and my fear that he might die. We talked and cried openly. I know how lucky I am that we were able to do that. On the day my dad died, he was feeling tired and taking it easy. He seemed to be burning calories at a significant rate, causing him to eat even in the middle of the night, as I had seen him come to the kitchen several times for small snacks. As the evening grew late, I did not see him, but my mom was moving about the house and my sister was in her room. I was in the family room watching a DVD when my mom came to say goodnight. I suddenly felt a sharp, desperate need for my mom to be near me. I asked her to stay a few minutes with me, and she said she was tired, but I pleaded with her to sit with me for a while. She gave in, likely concerned by my sudden neediness. We talked for a few minutes about what I was watching, then lapsed into silence. I thought having her near me would be a comfort, but instead a new feeling slipped into the room. The feeling was tangible. It had substance. Have you ever poured a dark liquid into clear water and saw how the dark liquid first pools and then slowly dilutes through the bowl? That's how this feeling, this otherness, entered the room. I looked around but saw nothing. As it enveloped us, I shivered and said, "Wow, it feels spooky in here." My mom agreed and shivered as well. She started to rise to leave the room, and I again asked her to stay, now motivated by the spooky feeling and not wanting to be alone. She stayed for a few more minutes, but then said into the disquiet that she really was tired and was going to bed. She got up and walked to her bedroom to find my dad in bed clutching her pillow. He was dead. I have much guilt about keeping my mother from going to her room when my dad needed her most. I know that he did not want to die anywhere but his bed and had a DNR on his, and he firmly believed that if he could not survive off of a machine, he did not want to live. It's the only comfort I have, knowing that of all the possibilities and bad outcomes of his illness, this was a blessing for him. And it's right, I think, that he should go the way he wanted to. He'd earned that. Now for my question. It is impossible to pinpoint the moment my dad died, and I find myself wondering if it was before the spooky feeling we felt or after. Did he feel the end coming and sent his spirit looking for help? Or was he already gone, came to see us one last time? I wish I knew. I've had other experiences involving my dad since his death. Nothing too alarming, just a sign when I need one and possibly even some fatherly protection. Lord knows I need all the help I can get. One time he helped me find something my mom and I were frantically looking for. I'll share those stories and others, as I've had a few mild experiences in my lifetime. Thanks for letting me tell my story. I hope it gets airtime, since I'd very much like to hear your opinions and thoughts. Love the both of you and your family. Keep up the excellent work, SMPS. On an episode I was recently listening to, a listener's story sparked a conversation between you and Jenny about the death of Poltergeist actress Heather O'Rourke. Tony, you had mentioned there were other deaths related to the movie franchise, and there was one very sad one. Dominique Dunn played Heather's teenage sister in the movie until her real-life ex-boyfriend murdered her. She was breaking up with him, and he strangled her to death. She did not get to appear in any of the sequels.
You know, I don't think that keeping your mom in the room with you was keeping her from him when he needed her. I think that that feeling you got was when he left. I think he was already gone.
It's an interesting one because you have to, I kind of wonder about, you know, if that was him, because it seemed like kind of a scary feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose any feeling that's out of the ordinary that suddenly overcomes could be scary, no matter good or bad, because it's unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it was bad that she was keeping her either. I'm just wondering if that feeling was more so just the end and it was coming through, and that was whatever comes to get you, whoever is coming to get you, was, you know, it was just the oddness of the feeling.
Yeah.
That was just kind of sweeping through the room.
I don't know, but I don't think that it was trying to get, that it was sent by him to get help.
No, I don't think so. I think it was more so just the events that were occurring.
Yes.
I think it was that and whatever that energy is that was leaving him and whoever, you know, or whatever else, angels, whatever you want to call it, may be coming in at that moment in time, and that was the feeling. And because it is such an odd feeling,
mm-hmm.
so different than what we normally experience on a daily basis, that would make them feel rather uncomfortable.
Sure.
So I would think that might be what it is. Especially, you know, compare it to the feelings that you've had after the fact, where you said that you felt his presence or a sign or something. What did that feel like, you know, as far as the aura in the room or wherever you may have been? How were you feeling when those events were happening? Did it feel similar to that moment in time, or was it different?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that. I would beg to guess maybe a little bit different, just because it was, you know, it's not as if the event was happening again.
Yeah.
Where it was more than just him at that moment in time when he was passing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's coming back, it may be just him coming back, where it may be more of a positive feeling and less oddly threatening.
Yeah, but I agree with what you were saying on, if it's not something you're used to,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to know what
sure.
it is, if it's a good feeling or bad feeling or just weird. I mean, if
yeah.
if this is one of your only experiences, then, you know, that may be something, like you said, it's just the unusualness of it.
When you have a lack of a reference point, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, phone number here is 855-853-4802. The website, as you probably are already well aware of, the title of the show, realghoststoriesonline.com. Go there, and you can write in your story as well and listen to past episodes as well. Luke writes in to the show. Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Luke from Minnesota. I sent in a few stories, and with Halloween approaching, I thought I'd share an experience that I think fits the season. I used to like to decorate for Halloween. However, combination of laziness and moving into a town and a townhome where I really don't have a yard, put that practice to a halt in recent years. However, I still have all the old decorations in storage, and last year in October, I thought I'd at least pull a few of them out of the bin. One of the ones I got out, and my personal favorite, was of a skeleton dressed in a wedding gown. She was kind of like a big mouth Billy Bass, was popular several years back. An animatronic device whose eyes would light up and had a couple of different sayings or songs that would play if one pushed the button on its head. She also had a motion-activated setting in which just walking by her would trigger one of the sayings or songs. When I got her out after several years, I cleaned her, now slightly yellowing, wedding dress off as best I could. Thinking it'd be kind of funny to startle the neighbors as they passed by, I decided to hang her on my side garage door. I replaced the long dead battery and found that she still worked by pressing the button, but that the motion activated feature seemingly was no longer working. Simply couldn't trigger it, despite my best efforts. I hung her on the side garage door anyway. A week or so later, I was at home relaxing. Decided to get a beer from the refrigerator that I keep in the garage, and I opened the door, at which the skeleton bride passed by her, grabbed the beer, and headed back out. It wasn't the first of the night, and my coordination was slightly compromised. So on my way out, I somehow became entangled with the bride in an almost hug in which I had my arm around her. One of her arms was draped over my shoulder. When this happened, her motion-activated feature suddenly kicked in for the first time since I'd gotten her out, and she croaked out one of her catchphrases. Would you like the first dance? This startled me. I hurried inside, but soon decided that this was just a funny coincidence. Told my friends and family about it, and they all seemed to get a good laugh. I'd since forgotten about the incident until just a few weeks ago. It was in the afternoon, and feeling sleepy, I decided to take a little nap. I lay on my couch, started drifting off to sleep. Suddenly felt a couple of feminine arms wrap around me from behind, like somebody was spooning with me. Lived alone since my last girlfriend moved out, but I was almost entirely asleep, so in that state, I weirdly didn't question it, and instead just went with it. That's until I heard the raspy voice in my ear ask, would you like the first dance? I jerked awake, but found myself paralyzed for a moment, still feeling the arms wrapped around me until I was able to shake the feeling and the paralysis off. Just a strange trick in my mind, maybe, but it certainly felt real at the time. I'll tell you this much, I abandoned my plan to take a nap that afternoon. As for the bride, she's still in storage at the moment. Not sure if I'm going to take her out this year. Thanks, Tony and Jenny. Really enjoy your show.
I wouldn't take her out unless you're going to bury her. Oh, gosh.
That's a hard one. It could very easily just be a sleep paralysis experience. And that, for whatever reason, that's what your mind went to. When you're in that state, when you're, you know, halfway falling asleep, you can hear shit that's not going on. You can feel things that are not going on. You know, take for instance, you know, when suddenly you feel like you're falling or jumping. Suddenly, it's a very real experience until you realize and you shake yourself out of it that that's not actually happening. And I hear things all the time that I know I'm not hearing.
Uh-huh.
When I'm near that state. So that's a very normal thing to me. For whatever reason, I hear things, and it's not paranormal. It's just me hearing sitcoms that are not playing. So I could see that very well being that. Now, could it be something else? Something paranormal? Sure.
I think it's really funny that if it is sleep paralysis, this is the first sleep paralysis out of all the stories we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's something that the person owns attacking them.
That's true.
You know, I just think that's funny. But I agree. I kind of thought that that might be. And, you know, I don't necessarily write it off as not paranormal because mm-hmm. it's sleep paralysis. I just find it's this particular one funny just because of what it was that
sure.
attacked him.
I think that's a very funny story
mm-hmm.
as far as everything that occurred and... I can imagine that being, you know, kind of a funny night when suddenly it gets activated and it's not activated again. Why did it happen? I don't know. Could it just be a glitch on it? Sure. You know, could you have pressed the button, bumped the button when you were losing your coordination and hugging it? I think that's a possibility, too, and not realized it. Nonetheless, creepy story.
Where did he get the skeleton in the wedding dress?
He got it at a antique store that also sold gravestones that were stolen from.
There you go.
So anything is certainly possible with that story. Let us know if more happens, though. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Juan writes in, this happened around 2003. I was living in Puerto Rico at the time in the town of Cabo Rojo, located in the southwest of the island. I wake up in the night to the sound of what can only be described as a large tree falling on top of the house. Notice the room was shaking. Kept shaking for a few seconds more after the noise subsided. As I was sitting up in bed, I was surprised my wife slept throughout all that noise. Looked at the clock and it was 3:21 a.m. I was not scared, more like annoyed because we did have a tree in front of the house. The tree was very old and was very possible that it had fallen. I went to bed thinking that I'd have to wake up really early to deal with this problem. In the morning, I go outside to address the situation with the fallen tree, but to my surprise, the tree was fine. Even a single branch was on the ground. I assumed that it was just a dream and went on with my day. However, once again, I wake up that night to the same situation, sound of a falling tree, and the room shaking. I look at the clock and it's 3:21 a.m. And again, my wife was sound asleep. This went on for a month. Every night, the same thing kept happening at 3:21 a.m. Sometimes I'd wake up and then just sit in bed waiting for it to happen. And without fail, at 3:21 a.m., this event would happen. I can't even begin to describe the fear I felt every time it happened. It was almost paralyzing. I never felt anything like that before or since. Of course, I told my wife about this, but she just said that I was having bad dreams. I also mentioned it to my coworkers, who noticed that my lack of sleep was affecting me physically. They told me to go outside and confront it. I told them they were crazy. I wasn't going to go outside in the middle of the night and confront it. I don't even know what it was. One night, as I was sitting in bed just waiting for it to happen, so I could go back to bed and get some sleep, my wife wakes up and asks me what I was doing up, and I told her. We talked for a little bit, and then it happened. The look on my wife's face was priceless. I cannot deny that I enjoyed that a little bit. She wanted to jump out of bed, but was also paralyzed with fear. And something else happened. Something that I had not experienced before. As clearly as if he was in the room with us, we hear just outside the window my father-in-law clearing his throat. This was like a tic he had when he talked. Every few sentences he would clear his throat. The only problem with that was that he died 7 years earlier. My wife was frantic. I was never a believer. I always make fun of people who believed in ghosts, but my wife, she was a true believer. She grew up in that stuff. Her great-grandmother practiced Santeria voodoo and other black magic. My wife would tell me stories of things she had seen, but I'd roll my eyes and point out that we were both college graduates with master's degrees, and those stories were for the uneducated. Well, I wasn't rolling my eyes anymore. We ended up calling our priest, we were raised Catholic, to bless the house. After the blessing, we never experienced anything like that again. We moved to Indiana 4 years later. One night I woke up, and I felt really nervous and anxious and couldn't go back to sleep. Didn't see or hear anything. I just could not get back to sleep. Next morning, I called my mom, and she sounded very scared and went on to tell me that she'd seen people come out of the walls and mirrors. I see, at the time, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and we attributed her experiences to the side effects of her medications. Then my dad started to see them, too. My brother, who lives 3 hours away, would come and visit and stay with my parents for the weekend, and he, too, started experiencing things. One night, as he's getting ready to go to bed, he's pushed out of the bed and falls to the floor. Got up, was so angry and scared at the same time that he yelled, "I just want to go to sleep. Leave me alone, whatever it is." Then never messed with him again. After a time, it stopped and nothing else strange has happened in the house to this day. I'll give you some backstory on my hometown. Maybe it has nothing to do with any of this, but it's nonetheless interesting. This area has a very violent past. People from my hometown are known as Mata Kanhacha, or those that kill with axes. The reason for this is that the area is home to a large deposit of naturally occurring sea salt. Since the 1600s, the salt has been collected and distributed for human consumption and other magnets. As you know, salt, as many other species, was in high demand back in the day, and the locals had to defend it against invaders from other towns or even pirates. Since most of the locals were farmers and fishermen, the only weapons available to them were knives, machetes, and axes. When they got news of an impending attack, they'd hide and wait to ambush the invaders and hack them to pieces. The crossroads where most of the attacks took place were in the area known today as El Combate, or the Battle. That's my story. Thank you for your time. Enjoy your show. You're doing a great job.
I don't think it was the dead father-in-law. coming at 3-something in the middle of the night, clearing his throat. I think it was something acting as him.
Yeah, trying to get their attention, trying to get them to interact.
Yes.
It's interesting. Why do you think that occurred, the extra added clearing of the throat occurred because it knew that the wife was awake that night? It was one extra thing because clearly he wasn't getting any traction with just the husband.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. And thinking that she'd be like, oh, I know.
Dad!
I know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's disturbing. You know, I was thinking, and this is an odd reference to Parks and Rec. You remember where, like, they had the murals up within their, like, community government center?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, horrible tragedies that occurred historically within their town.
Yes.
I wonder if there's, like, horrible murals like that up in this town.
of the locals.
Of the hacking of people away with axes, you know, where it's like, oh, the history of the city, you know?
That's funny.
But it's all drawn in a very bright and colorful, cheerful way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, please press subscribe, whatever platform you may be listening to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, you name it. We are on there. There's a new one. I don't know if it's in existence yet, but it will be very soon. Google Play is going to start carrying podcasts.
Okay.
Which is a massive, it's like the iTunes of Androids, mm-hmm. essentially. I know we're going to be one of the launch ones on there, and I don't know if it's out yet or when it launches or whatnot, but another place.
Awesome.
That you can find our fine little program. So whatever it is you're listening to us on, press subscribe. Helps us grow in those rankings, and then you get the episodes sent directly to you as they are invented and released. 855-853-4802. Stephanie Haas writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. Love the show. I've been listening since July. You two are a great on-air dynamic duo and our terrific outlet for those of us who've experienced unexplained or paranormal phenomena. I loved your recent Kids Safe show with your daughters. Looking forward to Harper's 2016 No Noggin Stories. Oh, she's already working on them. She is already working on them. And then had no head. The end. That's it. There you go. We'll get an extra sentence next year. I'm not sure I have a ghost story to share, but I'm open to the idea that it could be. Guessing my experiences fall into the unexplained phenomena category, even perhaps guardian angels category. Over the past 20 years, I've lived in both Seattle and Boston, where these many experiences have taken place. Here's what happens. I'll see a random person, a stranger, at the beginning of the day, and then see them again in a completely different part of the city or even state later the same day. We never interact or exchange words except for the slow motion nod of their heads when we cross paths. One experience in particular happened one morning when my ex-husband and I were at a rest stop along Interstate 5 heading south from Bellingham, Washington to Seattle, Washington, which is about a 90-minute drive. I saw a gentleman who looked like a drifter or hitchhiker sitting on a bench at the rest stop. He was notable because he had a leashed dog with him. He was wearing a large backpack, and on top of the backpack behind his head sat an orange cat tethered from its collar to his backpack. The cat really burned his entire image in my brain as extraordinary. It's just most cats would rather be dead than being tethered. As I passed him walking towards the ladies' room, he nodded at me and I smiled back. I pointed him out to my then husband. When I returned to the car, and we both laughed in disbelief because we had a very independent cat at the time. I found it amazing that this man was able to keep his cat tethered at the top of his backpack. Fast forward to later that evening when my ex-husband and I were meeting a big group of friends for a fancy dinner in downtown Seattle. Our table was right next to a street-level floor-to-ceiling window. I sat facing the window. At one point, I looked out the window to see the same man from the rest stop, the dog and the cat resting on top of his backpack, walking by the window. In slow motion, he turned his head, looked right at me, and nodded while continuing to walk past the restaurant. I said to myself, "No fucking way." I elbowed my then-husband and pointed out the window, and he couldn't believe it either. I excused myself immediately. I ran through the restaurant and out the front door, even around the corner, and the man, the dog, and the cat were nowhere in sight. My friends asked what had happened, They all laughed it off. My husband did come to my defense and mentioned that it happens to me a lot. And that quieted the group and their teasing. Whenever this happens to me, I get goosebumps and chills and yet feel a very real sense of calm and peace at the same time. What do you suppose this all means? Thank you for your wonderful show. I'm hoping to become an EPP ASAP. Take care, Stephanie, in Seattle, Washington.
I'm just going to make the assumption that the people that she sees and then she sees later in a completely different part of the state are people she doesn't know. Meaning that it's not like you're running into a coworker and then you happen to run into them later. It's just somebody just like this case where you notice them and then you notice seeing them again.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're ghosts just because they have the ability to do that.
Sure.
Move. And it's like they're nodding because they know that you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like they're purposely being seen.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you walk past a restaurant, even if you do know that someone you know is going to be dining there, it's very difficult to simply walk past, look in that window, spot them immediately, make eye contact, and nod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were trying to find that person, you know, you usually have to stand there for a minute or two, kind of peer around, get your hands up to your eyes, and kind of look into the window, and eventually you may or may not find that person. This entity, as it's going by the window, seems to know exactly where to look, exactly where that person is, and make that connection. And I'm assuming a very similar thing happens when she has this with other things, too.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, I think it's a ghost of some sort. I don't know what it is. I'm almost wondering, since she kind of gets a sense of calm and peace out of it, if it's more of like a guardian angel thing. You know, kind of mm-hmm. just like letting her know that they're there, that they're watching. Maybe there's like a, for whatever reason, a very large gathering of guardian angels or whatever you'd like to call them that are around her at all points in time. And maybe the story and the reason and the why have yet to be revealed to her.
Mm-hmm. I just hope that her other guardian angels aren't backpackers that have cats tied onto their backpack, just because that's like the oddest thing I've heard of.
Sounds like something from Home Alone.
It's just weird.
It really does. It sounds like one of the odd characters that Kevin runs into almost.
Yeah.
When they make Home Alone 10 and Macaulay Culkin comes back into that one, that will be the character.
There you go.
It'll be exactly what happens. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. Michael writes in, as Jenny requested, tales of haunted antiques. You like that?
That was good.
Actually, it should be more like Tales from the Crypt. Like, tales of the haunted antiques. Is that better?
Yeah.
That's kind of more like the Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that you two would enjoy hearing out that antique liquor decanter that my mother purchased during one of her trips to the Sierra Mountains. All right. My mother is both an antique dealer and an antique collector. Most of the time, what she buys has nothing attached to it. However, there's always a first time. There's a co-op in Sonoma, California, where she found a beautiful Victorian silver overlay red glass liquor decanter. When she came home from her trip, she proudly showed off her find and then placed it in her Victorian display cabinet. In case you don't know what a co-op is, a co-op is an antique store that has multiple dealers. The dealers usually rent a booth from the store, sell their merchandise. We call them things antique malls around these parts.
That's what we call them. Is that what they call them up where you're from?
Yeah.
That's what we call them in Texas, too.
Yeah, antique malls. It's probably a regional thing. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that co-ops were called, or antique malls were called different things in different parts of the world. You learn something new every day on the show.
Yep.
Today's show is brought to you by the word antique co-op and the number 666. That night, she was woken up by a clown, oh God, that she still insists on describing as the It Clown. Oversized floppy yellow shoes, red and white striped baggy jumpsuit, white gloves, candy apple red hair, skin that was more a pale gray than a true white. Bloodstained smile, rows of horrible yellow shark teeth, pranced around the bedroom in a comedic and terrifying manner. The only new thing that she had purchased was a decanter. Her boyfriend grabbed the bottle, poured a pile of salt into a circle with a pentagram, then placed the bottle in the center. Whatever this clown was, it left them alone the rest of the night. When I arrived home that night and saw the bottle in the salt circle, I thought, what the heck is this? I laughed it off, figuring that I could ask them in the morning. In the morning, I was told the whole tale of the night before and the explanation for the salt circle pentagram from my mom's boyfriend. This, amusingly, was, I don't know anything about this stuff. My sister is a witch, so I figured it was what she would do. Having grown up with ghosts, such as Mrs. St. Louis, I figured I'd try the direct approach and ask what the clown wanted. The clown apparently thought that it was funny to scare people and was not a ghost. Really, it was a minor demon that fed on fear. I explained the basic rules of the house, which can be summarized as, if you leave us alone, you can stay. If you mess with us, you have to go. The clown also found the salt circle funny. Unsurprisingly, it could not resist the temptation to mess with my mother again that night. I pointed out that it had broke the rules of the house, grabbed it, kicked it out of the house. Still not sure how I grab ghosts and spirits. I just do. And before you ask, to me, they just feel like a freezing draft and circles around with my hand. The next time Mom went to Sonoma, she asked about the dealer that she had bought the decanter from, but they had moved out the month before. It seemed that there were a number of complaints about strange things happening with the items they had sold. Almost as if they had knowingly been selling antiques with attached entities, though that's my only speculation on my part. Mom still owns the decanter, which is now an entity-free. Happy antique hunting. As a completely off-topic side note, my mother's boyfriend is the guy that made the turtle hands for the 1992 live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
That's cool.
Our older daughter will be very excited about that piece of information.
She has so much Ninja Turtle stuff.
I don't think, has she seen, she's watched the old movies, hasn't she? Or at least one of them?
I don't think she's seen the old ones.
Oh, I wonder if she'd even want to see the old ones or if it's like too old.
Bet she would, just because. Okay, do you remember the Mrs. St. Louis story?
Refresh my memory.
He had this old lady that lived in his house, and she died in the house before they moved in, and she was kind of a grandmotherly spirit that when they did stuff they weren't supposed to, she would manifest and kind of shoo away friends that were doing bad things.
Yeah, I kind of remember that one.
Okay, so he's no stranger to the paranormal, but that's just a classic story of why I'm so torn. I love to go to antique malls, but I'm so afraid of that exact thing happening.
But it doesn't seem to hold us back from buying anything.
We rarely buy stuff.
Actually, it has. Yeah, we don't really buy a whole lot there anymore.
No, we go and look.
Yeah.
But we don't really bring anything home.
We did pick up an interesting item recently. We got a really good buy, an old fireplace mantle.
Yeah, we did.
And we have a room that does not have a fireplace in. And we thought, well, we could, you know, make it look like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe put an insert or something in there. And I'm surprised you were cool with that. I really, just because that, you know, it was clearly part of someone's home and it was old.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that was in an old, it's literally a piece of a very old house.
Did you see me go up and touch it after you mentioned it?
At the store?
Yeah.
No.
I did. I went up and I touched it and I didn't get any bad vibes from it. So I was okay with it. And the dealer did not want to sell it to us.
That's true.
He wanted to keep it for himself. I think if it were wreaking havoc, he'd be like, here, take it. I'll pay you to take it.
Even though he had a price tag on it and it was listed, he still did not want to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get any bad vibes. I found it odd when I was working on putting the insert into it that it did have a lot of blood stains on the back.
It did not. You're so full of shit sometimes.
And the claw marks were also very odd because it appeared to just be three marks. It wasn't like a hand. It was like three.
No, it's a neat one. It's a neat old piece.
It is. I'm glad we got the blood out. 855. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You're on Real Ghost Stories Online. Diana writes in, Christmas 1996 was wonderful. My three-year-old daughter met my father-in-law, her grandfather, for the first time, and she called him Daddy's Grandpa. My husband and his father had been estranged for many years, but that Christmas all was forgiven. It really was wonderful. Sadly, less than a month later, my father-in-law had a massive coronary and died instantly. His three children immediately made the 13-hour trip to his home to deal with all that was left behind, as well as mourn their father together. Friends of mine offered to have my daughter, my dog, and me come spend a few nights with them, so my daughter and I would have support as well. The three of us slept in a pull-out couch in their basement. One morning, the second morning, in the full daylight, my daughter rolled over and stared at the easy chair across from the pull-out couch for a moment, and calmly turned to me and asked, "Why is Daddy's grandpa sitting there smiling at me?" At that point, I looked at my dog and noticed he was also staring at the chair. He wasn't growling, just staring intently at one spot. My daughter then nudged me and brought me back to her question. I said, "The only thing I could think of, he came to see you." I could see I'd confused her because she was just recently told that he died and therefore was gone, but then she looked back at the chair and just said, "Okay." Went home that day, and I was trying to figure out how to tell my husband about our daughter's experience without upsetting him when I heard my daughter in a one-sided conversation in her room. I walked in her room and saw she'd brought out the toy organ her grandfather had given her that Christmas. I asked her what she was doing, and she said, "Daddy's grandpa and I are playing with my new organ." She was so happy. I smiled and I left the room. At no time did I get a creepy sensation or feel any type of fear. My dog didn't even react negatively. All he would do was sit outside my daughter's room and wait. My husband was away for over a week, and I didn't tell him anything until he came home, and I only did that because he came home during one of my daughter's and her grandfather's play times. He could hear our daughter talking, and he asked me who she was playing with. I told him everything. I haven't explained it all away as a 3-year-old's coping method. But then my husband asked me what day and time she first saw him, and I told him. I got chills when my husband said, "That's the exact time we spread his ashes." My daughter and her grandfather played together for some time after that, and we treated it as just that, playtime with her grandfather. Always feeling grateful that she got that bit of extra time.
I think that's really sweet. And, you know, honestly, if she's seeing spirits at that young of an age, you know, it's one of those things where it's probably best to not try and downplay it. Otherwise, she'll feel like something's wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this was a long time ago, but I'm speaking to other parents out there. But there's no denying it when the child and the dog are seeing something.
Sure.
At the same time.
And I mean, it seems like fairly harmless. It sounds like that's what it was, that it ended, and nothing else happened.
Right.
Nothing negative, nothing weird. I mean, you do have that sometime. If that is occurring, you know, ask your kids questions, see what's going on, and try and get regular updates. But sometimes that's all it is. It's just something innocent, and nothing negative will come of it.
And I think this person handled it in the right way. Being just like, well, they just came to see you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you for that story. Our number is 855-853-4802. Amanda writes in, "I've just recently found your site, but have been listening a lot while at work since much of what I do right now is data entry and pretty boring. Love hearing from people who have had experiences like mine and also from people who have experienced things like I've never heard of before. It's a great thing that you're doing. The story began 2.5 years ago, around Valentine's Day, and for the most part takes place in the building where I work. This building is the tallest in the city, which is a pretty good-sized city. It was a bright day here in Ohio, which itself is a bit unusual. Started off like any other weekday. What really makes the day stand out is that around 1 p.m., a young woman jumped from the top of our parking garage and killed herself. Since this took place on a work day, the building, city, and parking garage were all full. There were a lot of witnesses to what happened and a lot of people affected. Other than feeling bad for the girl and her family, coworkers, etc., I didn't think much else of it since I didn't know her personally. But a week later, though, while taking a walk in the parking garage during my lunch hour, I kept seeing something from the corner of my eye. Didn't really pay much attention to it because I thought it was just the security guard checking up on me, as he sometimes does while I walk. About 5 minutes later, though, I saw the guard on the floor across from me and not behind me where the shadow was. This didn't bother me or creep me out. I just finished my walk, went back inside. The next day, I saw the shadow behind me again, but since I had shared the elevator with the security guard that day, I knew it wasn't him. I took a chance and spoke to the shadow and said, "I do see you and don't mind that you're back there as long as you mean me no harm. If you do mean to me, or if you do mean me harm, I ask that you leave me alone." I didn't know if this would do any good, but since I didn't feel anything negative around the shadow, I thought it was worth a shot. It stayed through a couple more turns around the garage and then left. Didn't see it again for a few weeks, but this time it wasn't in the parking garage. It was upstairs in my office. I was unlocking and opening the office for the day and was startled by a reflection in one of the tall glass windows of somebody going around a corner behind me. I knew there wasn't anybody else in the office since I get in half an hour before anybody else, and I just walked around and to make sure that the office was empty. The floors also creak under anybody's weight, and there was no sound behind me. Off and on for the next 2 years, I'd see this shadow, sometimes standing by my desk, sometimes behind me, or walking past me. Finally, I asked my mother about it to see if she would confirm my thoughts about who it was. My mother and I are both familiar with ghosts and have asked each other to confirm or debunk what we feel or see before, so this wasn't an odd request. She was reluctant to do so, but did say that she felt that it was a young girl who meant no harm. This girl is still here in my office. She seems to get stronger around October and fade more in the summer. She's never done any harm, but the office does go through a lot more light bulbs than we ever used to. It seems that she may stay around me only because I have acknowledged her. For over a year, I pretended that I didn't see anything in hopes that whoever it was would move on. Since my first interaction was so soon after the woman jumped, it seems that the shadow may be her. I'm curious to know what your thoughts about this are. Thanks.
I think that could be what it is, but I don't understand why she would pick you out of all the people that work in that area.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea. Sometimes it's one of those things where, are we talking if it's the kid?
Young girl.
The young girl? Yeah. If it's the young girl, why, you know, when you're, for example, walking into a mall, for example, and you need to get to a specific store, but you don't know how to get there, why do you pick a certain person to talk to? Or to ask that question to, if it's not the information. What makes you go up to that specific person?
They seem less threatening.
Yeah, for whatever reason, she may just seem less threatening than anyone else, and that may just be all it is. It's the same intuition that we have in life. I think some people have in death as far as why a ghost picks them.
Very good explanation. I like that.
So, that's my guess.
I like that a lot.
That's the fun thing on the show. I don't have any explanations. These are all wild guesses. But it, you know, kind of comes from a psychological standpoint of why do we do what we do?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought. I don't know if it answers the question or not, but interesting story. Damn it.
Interesting.
I know. I got to get that bell.
You're doing better. You're just saying it once. You're not saying interesting yeah, story.
I'll get some other tick going soon, too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we would absolutely love to hear them. And if you have not done so yet, please become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. And check out this last week's EPP bonus episode. We got a story in to us, and you can hear a snippet of it in the preview of the episode. It's one of those stories where it's so compelling. It's a sad, sad story of events that really happened, but the story did not end with those events. In fact, it's a story that goes back before the events and then after the tragic events that took place in a town in Colorado. We took a lot of extra time to produce that story and to tell that story because I think it really deserved it. It was a very, very compelling tale. Check out the preview, become an EPP, and you can hear the whole story. And when you become an EPP, that's what helps keep this show on the air and allows us to be an outlet to share these stories and experiences like that one and like so many others, like the ones that we've heard on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. So check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.